The details behind the Diddy indictment, Taylor Swift's stalkers, Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Are you trying to walk through the door of, hey, getting closer and closer to success? Or are you trying to walk through the door every morning of fear of failure, right? So we choose to walk through the door of, hey, we try and move ourselves closer and closer every day to being successful as an individual, team, and organization. So that's the approach that we take.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott today. Buffalo Bills OTAs underway. Hard knock cameras are going to be at St. John Fisher University, and coach talking about the honor of being selected by the NFL. I don't know if he's saying that behind closed doors, but he's giving us that today. And we got Matt Farino covering the team for the Syracuse Post-Standard joining us now from Orchard Park. Look, I'm curious, Matt, was there any surprise to OTAs today? Because Bosa being injured doesn't feel like a surprise. James Cook not being there doesn't feel like a surprise. Was there anything there that was surprising to you?
Yeah, the reactions to the Bosa news were about as expected as it gets, because this was the big thing that when they signed him, how long can you go with him while keeping him healthy? And for it to happen before we even get a chance to kind of chronicle him on the practice field, I think is, you know, kind of funny. The James Cook piece of it, it's not surprising. And, you know, hearing from Deion Dawkins after practice, it's not something that resonates inside the building as I think it does as much outside the building. Something like business is going to be the business part. He mentioned that it's a voluntary portion, and that a lot of times across the league, when there's contract things that come up, you know, players choose to go that route. And so for inside the building, he said it's all still love. There, you know, it is a process, right? Like, it is something that, you know, if you want a new deal and the two sides aren't coming to any kind of agreement, you know, there's going to be parts of it where you choose to make your statements. And, you know, James is making that statement right now. When it comes, it doesn't to me progress to like a legitimate story until mandatory minicamp. Right. And if he's not there for that.
Yeah. Back to Bosa here for a second, Matt, what do you think is, cause I think there's a variance here in what to expect from Joey Bosa. Like, we're all hoping that he'll be this year's version of Leonard Floyd, somebody who comes in, does a great job, and maybe he hits a big, you know, just kind of a one-year layover here in Buffalo, and maybe it would be longer. But then, gosh, if this kind of goes on, and this is where this is, you know, a little above my head when it comes to void years and everything like that, because you hear the guaranteed money for Joey Bosa, or is that something you think they could wiggle out of? Do you think Joey Bosa, worst case scenario, he does not have a spot guaranteed on this roster?
No, I think the spot is probably pretty guaranteed unless something injury related comes up that's completely out of the realm. Like, I think this is a good reminder for the Bills that something that we've talked about plenty of times this offseason is that you have to devise the plan for this defensive line to keep Joey Bosa fresh and to try to avoid some of the issues that have popped up for him over the past. You need him for January and February. And so if that means, you know, rostering an extra defensive lineman so you don't have to kind of put the wear and tear on this guy that will, you know, keep you from having him available, to me that's the biggest piece. But in terms of the upside as a pass rusher, I still think that you're buying in on that for when it matters most. It's just devising this plan. I mean, all eyes are on Will Greenberg, right? Like, how can he, you know, in his first year as a strength and conditioning coach, put him in a position to play as many games for the Bills as he can?
So, Matt, who stands to benefit the most here during the OTAs with Bosa's absence here heading into St. John Fisher?
You know, I think it's really, really good reps for Michael Hoyt and Landon Jackson, who I'm writing about right now in my observation. Thought he was one of the most impressive people on the field today. Obviously, we can't get into where guys play, what team they play on, and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's part of the observation is taking it with, you know, a grain of salt here. They're not in pads. You know, who they're going up against are really, it's really important. But, you know, Jackson had a rep today against Richard Garage, who, you know, a former undrafted lineman who's been kind of hanging around in the Bills practice squad for a couple of years. And he's going into his third season. He's almost achieved veteran status. Landon Jackson, just on one play today, it was teach tape for how you want an edge rusher to perform. The get off, putting the lineman in conflict immediately, and then turning that into a bulldozer of a finish. It was almost every piece of a win on a rep that you'd want from a young player. And then I thought TJ Sanders, obviously not an edge rusher, but he had a really nice day too. There was one play where he got into the backfield so quick and batted down a pass as Mike White tried to kind of rush things along a little bit to avoid the pressure. So some of the things that we heard about these two guys, I mean, flashed out there a little bit on day one. Again, no pads.
Yeah, we're talking to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, the Shout podcast. One thing that was different today, new this year. What's it like having Vinsanity around? What was that like having Vince Carter on the premise?
So cool, man. Like, just we got through a 20-minute press conference with Sean, and I'm just like, is it kind of surreal to just do this whole thing? And then, oh, by the way, basketball royalty is just standing there off to the side watching you do your thing. And, you know, he said it was obviously cool to have him around. And after practice, you see all these players just going up to him just to, you know, chop it up with him for a few minutes. I mean, that's a guy that you want to talk about even more so than what he accomplished as a player. Like, the height of fame that Vince Carter achieved in his career. I think you can make the argument that after LeBron James and Michael Jordan, probably Kobe Bryant, Vince Carter is like the most famous basketball player. Like, that era when he was the dunk champion in the NBA, like, I'll never forget. I think it was the 2000 dunk contest. I still talk to friends about that all these years later. He was, I know he didn't have the team success, but he was an icon, like, for a stretch of time there. So it's cool. I mean, anytime, like, my guy growing up was Tracy McGrady, actually. So it's cool for me that he's part of that ownership group. I still haven't had a chance to talk to him, but I'd probably fanboy out a little bit. That's one of the guys in sports that I would, I think, fanboy out a little bit over.
Buddy, I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm treading lightly as I'm doing it.
Oh, no.
I'm only bringing it up because I don't know if you gave daggers to whoever asked the question about the rule proposal that did not go through to ban the tush push from the NFL. I found McDermott's comments now in retrospect, his comments today, you know, basically saying, hey, it's a rule. We're going to play within the framework of the rule. So everything that was said up until today feels very disingenuous by the organization.
Because he's going to still run the tush push,
right,
even though he's against it.
Right.
Yeah, but they're also trying to win. So if it's something that you do well and it's in the, you're able to do it, and it also comes down, it's not just about what Sean McDermott wants. Like, what does Joe Brady want? What does Joe Brady believe? How does Josh Allen feel about it? Which I think is the most important commentary on the play that I'd be interested in. And I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, he's commented publicly on it. So maybe we'll get a chance to talk to him over the next couple of weeks. But I think that's fair too. Like, I mean, you know, why not run it, I guess, right? If you don't feel like it's safe, even if it does give you a competitive advantage. Then there's also the piece of it, how much of a competitive advantage does it give you when you run it four straight times in the biggest game of the season and, you know, it's not successful. So I that's fair.
Well, one thing I think maybe they're just putting on a good face here. Maybe it's a little disingenuous, but are you believing that the Bills are actually excited to be on Hard Knocks here, Matt? I mean, it's exciting for Bills fans. We all can agree, but for an organization that, heck, you can't even tell us where, you know, where Landon Jackson was lining up today. Those are the rules here in the spring. But how do you think, in what ways? That's part one here. Like, you know, their thoughts on this, and then part two of the question: in what ways do you think? And maybe the answer is not at all, but like, how might we see camp be different this year with the cameras, everybody following everybody around?
Oh, I think it'll be different. And I actually don't think Sean's going to have a huge problem with it. I got the sense listening to talk about it today, the league probably called them up and said, listen, you have very much control over what gets out there. There's not going to be something that gets out that's going to be a competitive disadvantage. Because, like, in his comments, didn't he say, like, oh, well, whatever you get to see, it's an inside look, but it's an inside look, like, maybe 20% or 15% or whatever the number that he put on it. You're not really going to get the look in that I think that, you know, we've come to expect of this show because of how it's been since its inception. I think over the years, we haven't seen as much. I thought last year to me, watching the Bears season, the thing that really stood out was how poorly Eberflus came across, especially in some of those meetings with Caleb Williams. So I wonder if this is like, you know, maybe Sean McDermott is so confident in his ability and the way that he runs things, because listen, at every juncture of his career here, I do think that the majority of the players have stood up to defend him when he's been criticized, you know, Josh more than anybody else. Like, I remember during the whole Ty Dunn story and some of the stuff that came out about that, a lot of the players went to bat for him. And I think that a lot of that comes from his ability to let them be who they are. I think his demeanor in a lot of these meetings, and I think maybe some of that will come out. And I also think, like, they have some characters on this team that they can play up on this show, you know, Deion Dawkins being the most of that. And Sean, in these meetings over the years, he's had his own growth process in that department. Like, you know, the dad joke Fridays and all the stuff that we talked about last year and his evolution. So I think at the end of the day, this is a team with a lot of characters on it that I think will play pretty well. And it's a really important training camp and lead up to an important season where expectations are at an all-time high. And that's going to be an interesting storyline to track. Like, how do the Bills keep the expectations from creeping back into their building, because they love playing that underdog role? They're not. Like, I mean, they have the third best Super Bowl odds, and they have the reigning MVP. You can't really run away from those anymore.
One of those characters you just mentioned, Deion Dawkins, since the last time we spoke, the NFL announced the Protector of the Year Award going to be announced at NFL Honors, and we know how important that was to Deion Dawkins, how vocal he was that there should be an award for offensive linemen. Did he speak on that at all, Matt?
He did. He talked about the process and the fact that it hasn't been this wasn't like a one-off, like he said it on a radio show or a podcast, and then, you know, a couple months later, the NFL rolled it out. This is something that he's been advocating for like 3 years, like conversations with members of the league, members of the Players Association, thinking through the different variations of how this will work and the criteria for which it will be judged. This is something that he's had a lot of input into and he's really proud of and excited about, because it's hard to change football was one of the quotes that he used. And I think that when you look back at the inception of this rule of this award, you know, who knows, maybe someday down the road they'll honor him and maybe name the award after him or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know if he'll have the kind of career that will warrant that, but at the same time, to be able to do the groundwork for it and just the imprint that he's left on the game. I don't know if any offensive lineman is as well known around NFL circles as Deion Dawkins. So it's pretty cool.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Parrino, Shout Podcast, Syracuse Post Standard, Little League coach, our guest here in the sports bar. Matt, one player that I can't get enough of in terms of, okay, how's he looking? How's he coming along? Ever since that Sean McDermott kind of mentioned him in his season-ending press conference, talking about Keon Coleman. McDermott talked a little bit about Coleman today, and I guess this is the time of year where you're going to say nice things, but just your kind of impressions, what you saw out of Coleman, and just how big is this year number two for the wide receiver?
I think that was more than nice things. That was more than pleasantries that Sean said today, because I think a lot of times we ask him about young players like this in this setting, And he reverts back to the coach speak and, you know, like, I've liked some of the things, like a real quick general statement, and then on to, like, the expectations and the fact that you got to prove it every year. And for him to kind of come out and say how proud he is of him for how he showed up and to really prove the fact that he's been working in the offseason, I think the heart-to-heart that they had, whatever the messaging was from the Bills at the end of last season, at least for now, it seems like McDermott's been pleased with the way that that message has been received and what you've seen from Coleman. I thought he looked so comfortable out there today. Like, I think, you know, he had a touchdown during team drills, but besides even just the play, it was more so the player. And he just looks so comfortable. Now, they don't have pads on, so, like, you can't take too much from these practice situations. But I think that was high praise for McDermott, who turned up the heat a little bit on Coleman, which is, I think, a little bit uncharacteristic. But I wonder if it comes from knowing the player and the person and knowing what you can say about a guy to motivate a guy. I think Sean does a good job of figuring that out for each individual. And so far, so good. We'll see if that means anything once we get to games.
I think there's a footnote to the Joey Bosa injury as well. And it's a player that, you know, coming into the league, I think we had really high expectations for, to the point where we're wondering, okay, now, you know, we want to see more and we want to see the continued evolution and growth of Greg Rousseau. We heard from him today after practice as well, Matt. And I think that this is a season where you're committed to him now. He's here. He's not going anywhere. He's getting his. What's the expectation? What's a realistic expectation for Greg Rousseau?
I think the expectation has to start at 10 sacks, right? Like, it's not just about the number, right? Like, it's kind of an arbitrary number. Like, I think people throw that around. But I think if you're winning and impacting things the way that they're paying him to do, you're going to land at that number pretty organically in a 10-game season. And the fact that he has not gotten there yet, I think, I don't want to say it's concerning, but it's just, it's something where you're just left wanting more, even though he does have such an impact on their defensive line. And I think with the additions that they've made, maybe more so on the interior, and what this team can look like as a pass rushing unit on third down now with true pass rushers at all four positions, especially on the second half of the season when they have Hoyt in the mix, who could kind of be a little bit of a, you know, chess piece for McDermott and Bobby Babich. I just think you want more impact plays, splash plays. It's almost like the same conversation we were having around Tremaine Edmonds all those years. It's like his first round draft pick who is just athletically and physically imposing. You want to see somebody that can impact the games in crucial moments more with tangible results. And so I think they're looking for that. Sean's talked about it. Greg's talked about it. I think he has this line is put together in a way that Greg Rousseau could have an impact.
Last one for me, Matt. Did you line up to be an extra? You know people that lined up to be an extra there in the Hallmark movie.
I can neither confirm nor deny any appearances in any movies.
Well, wait a second. Not an extra. Wait a second. Like, theoretically, let's just say the Schmelt podcast. Maybe they reached out to somebody there, or
Gino, come on. Show some respect to our guest here. The casting crew at the Hallmark Channel probably saw Perino and they started licking their chops. How do we get this guy into this movie?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they did that at all. And listen, I think Sal put out Capaccio. He had a little role there. It's nothing like that, but I do think that we are on the books to get out there for some type of deal. But I think that's as much as I could say. I don't have any of the any more details than that.
I see a Bills insider montage in our future. I see a Bills insider montage in the middle of a Hallmark film. Perrine, I see you working, buddy.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be Sal Capaccio level, but really, at the end of the day, who of us is really Sal Capaccio level?
That's true. What about the PSL sales that we heard from Gwelly? 25,000 PSL sold, on pace to sell it out. I mean, I guess that's not a surprise, but you also hear rumblings that there's still a lot of seats available in the new stadium in 2026.
Yeah, and I think the price came
dramatically down from what I heard initially. Like, I remember talking to a bunch of season, and this is just conversations that I've had with even season ticket holders that I know in my life.
Yeah.
You know, when this process was starting, I remember them saying, oh man, I'm hearing the lowest this thing's going to be is like $8,500 a year. And I've heard some people that are getting in at a PSL in the 300s under 1,000. So that's huge, right? Like, that's a huge difference that I think opens up the door for more people to have a chance to buy tickets. But they couldn't have orchestrated this whole deal, like the new stadium with PSLs for the seats, at a better time in the organization's history, right? Like, you're in the prime years of Josh Allen. If you have a season ticket, you don't want to lose out on that, I would imagine. And so I think they're going to do better than they probably would have had they done this during the drought era. But it's always changing, all the conversations I've had. But almost all the people in my life, and I'm talking dozens and dozens of season ticket holders, maybe over 100, that I talk to and have gotten updates from, almost all of them, even the ones that were really on the fence about it, have decided to buy tickets. So I think from the Bills' perspective, they're probably doing pretty well.
Yeah. If this were, like, say, 10 years ago, Matt, it would have been an interesting case study. Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard Shout Podcast. Tell us what is coming up on both platforms we can go check out this week, Matt.
Yeah, so I got a – we're going to do the observation shows today. I also might be doing a podcast with Mr. McDermott tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
So stay tuned for that. I think it was scheduled for, like, just an interview for a story, but I think we're going to maybe turn it into a podcast too, so we'll see. So you can hang out and look for that. I also have got some other things cooking at the site. And then, listen, I've always said some great listeners – of Danger and Battaglia. Chuck just tweeted at me, I know where Danger and Battaglia work if you want to push them. And I've got to tell you, Chuck, hit the DMs, give me the location, because if I get one more push question, buddy, I know
it's a sensitive subject. I prefaced it by warning you. Well, you knew it was coming.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, like when like I asked you the question last week, and then you know, Dandelorian, our fine bounty hunter of audio, put it in the show open the next day. I mean, yeah, we were kind of talking about it. Like, okay, yeah, this is we're beating a dead horse here, Matt.
It's all good. It's that time of the off season, guys. Like, this is what we got to talk about. I just, I don't know, for whatever reason, like, I just don't like this whole idea of just, like, taking out a play because one or two teams are good at it. Like, the more it's sat with me this off season, the more I've kind of just been, like, I don't like talking about it. And then the league did the right thing in the end, and enough teams voted the right way. So we are moving on.
Enjoy the rest of your week, bud. Let's do it again next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Take care. There's Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, who has maybe the chance here to have McDermott on his pod. I think I'm with him on what Hard Knocks could look like with Sean McDermott. I really don't think McDermott's going to let Hard Knocks do to him what it did to Eberflus or certainly Joe Shane. I think that because they have a little bit of editorial control on what gets out there, and because McDermott feels like he's being more open in the media, like, to hear Perino just now say, yeah, it was going to be an interview, but now I think we might just have him on for the podcast. Like, McDermott is he doesn't give you a lot, but he is being more forthright, I think, with Buffalo media.
Do we want McDermott on our show?
I'd love McDermott on our
show.
Yeah,
like when we get to, like, camp, and people ask me all the time about this, but he is just so...
He's the one guy we haven't had
we've
on.
We've never had him on.
We've had Goelle. We've had Brandon Bean. We've had Josh Allen. We've never had McDermott. And, you know, if there's some kind of, I mean, we're broke-ass bitches here in the sports bar. So if it's some kind of financial compensation he's looking for, then he can go ahead and talk to the GR guys, because we're not going to pay him to stop by the sports bar. But he did have, earlier today, some glowing comments on Hard Knocks and kind of explained what his vision for the show could be with them following him around during training camp this summer.
I think the selection criteria has changed. I know it has most recently. And, you know, to some extent, it's a real compliment to them choosing us and selecting our organization. now that the criteria has changed. You know, you look at it, you know, one of two ways, and it's probably a little bit of both, where you say the opportunity is there for us to, number one, our fans, that they can get an inside look, a little bit of what happens. Is it 100% inside? Maybe not. What percent it is? Is it 10%, 20, 50? Who knows? But, you know, there's a lot that we do that they'll see, which I think is great for the fans. I think there's also just as much that people won't see. And that's true of anyone's process, right? Any great athletes or team's process. There's a lot that goes on that people don't see in the hidden hours and days. So I think that's important to note. I think the opportunity for us to really be who we are. I mean, a lot of people see us, they show up at our stadium every week and they see us live and they see who we are and how much these guys love each other. You know, our personality comes out, and I think it'll offer, you know, many a chance to see us kind of beneath the surface as well and see how that rings true day in and day out here. The challenge is the authenticity of who we are. And
can
building that critical trust,
if you had asked
that
me,
is so
okay,
important to building
Sean
a
McDermott.
Good health.
You know what? The league asked us to do this, and we'll do it. And that would be that. And he's saying he's welcoming this element in. Yeah, he's saying the right things.
As he normally does, he's saying the right things. Sometimes you could tell. I think the conversation around the Bills and the tush push and McDermott and everything from this offseason, I think that was forced. I think McDermott, quite honestly, is being told.
Oh, he got tripped up.
Yeah.
He wasn't with the friendly Western New York media. There was Judy Batista and others like, wait a second, data, what data? You're like, when he was just pressed a little bit, that made him look bad.
Not entirely bought in on the conversation. Because I imagine most football guys would view that play as we've viewed it, and a lot of people have viewed it. Oh, you don't like it? Then stop it. If you don't like it, stop it. And to hear Saquon say that the opposers of the play are soft, right? Yeah, you're football guys. You don't like the play, stop the play. And I imagine in his heart that both things can be true, that he is worried about player safety, because who wouldn't be? And he's also a fan of the play and will run the play because it's now within the framework of the NFL's rules. Good conversation there with Matt Parrino. Appreciate the report from OTAs, which got underway today in Orchard Park. We will talk to Amherst head coach Mike Leone next hour here in the sports bar. We have more on the way next, including, there's another team who opened up their OTAs. And I just love watching the fan base come to grips with what has become of their proud organization.
You know, I thought about this over the week, and I know where you're going to go with this, and I'm going to challenge you on this.
Okay.
I think it's time. They can't be that dumb.
Or can they?
Also, thank you to somebody from the sports bar. Now, I don't know if there was non-disclosure agreement.
One of our regulars?
Yeah. Give you a little bit of the plot here and what people had to do for going out and shooting the Hallmark movie.
You're going to give spoilers to the Hallmark movie?
Why not?
I mean, I'm not going to watch it.
Is the Hallmark police going to come over and say...
I'm not watching
this
it.
I feel like I'm testing a boundary here. Like,
As far as I'm concerned, Gino. We'll get to that. And Amherst head coach Mike Leone. All coming up in the next half hour here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on The Fan.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.